morning, everyone. A conviction yesterday in Chicago for the ringleader of a crime spree we told you about last month. Black men were systematically tortured and coerced into confessions by the Chicago Police Department throughout the 1970s, 80s, and maybe even later. The ringleader is former Police Lieutenant John Burge, who was convicted of federal perjury and obstruction of justice charges. He could face up to 45 years in prison. Joining us now, once again, is Rob Wildebohr, criminal justice reporter for Chicago Public Radio, joining us from the Windy City. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, John.
So what do these charges mean, and is this closure for an enormous number of people who certainly were victims of this crime spree for decades inside the Chicago Police Department?
It's not closure. You know, it's amazing because this has gone on for 40 years, but this is not closure. Burge is the first officer to be prosecuted in this, which is, you know, its own travesty. But the reason it's not closure is because there are still 20 guys in prison who gave confessions gave coerced confessions. And then the other thing is that there's a lot of people that still, you know, want to sue the city for money and get some reparations financially.
Well, on this program last month, Daryl Cannon, one of the victims of this crime spree by the Chicago Police Department, told us how he was victimized. Listen.
They took me to the police station, and eventually they ended up taking me out of there, taking me to a torture site where they performed despicable acts upon me, from playing mock executions with a shotgun to trying to hang me by my handcuffs, was cuffed behind my back, to using an electric caliper on my bare genitals.
All to coerce confessions. Rob Wildebohr, did this kind of testimony come up in the trial, or was it more technical?
No, it did come up. As you mentioned, the charges were perjury and obstruction of justice. So they're saying John Burge lied about what he knew about torture in some civil suits in the last couple years. But to prove that he lied about the torture, they had to show that the torture existed and that it occurred. And so they brought in five different witnesses who talked about their experiences.
And did the jury appear to have much difficulty with its deliberations? I mean, I guess the question is the stage set for other convictions here?
The stage is set for, I think, prosecutors to, go after some of the other detectives who were involved in this. But I think the big thing that to note about the jury is that the defense had set this up as, you know, all these torture victims. You know, they weren't little old grandmothers and priests. They were guys who were picked up because they had criminal histories. So these are not choir boys. And the big thing for the jury is that they saw past that and didn't just say, okay, well, you know, they're scum and they're pieces of garbage and they're rats. So those are words the defense attorneys used in their closing arguments, that these guys are rats. Don't believe them over a white police officer. But the jury said, no, we're going to believe their testimony and we're going to convict this white police officer.
What does it say, though, about the changes that have taken place in the last 40 years, that the expectation on the part of attorneys is that juries will see past that, that they don't have to pass a likability test to be categorized as an actual victim, a granny, as you say?
Well, you know, this is the biggest thing that surprised me, that the defense attorneys would actually use in the closing arguments rats, pieces of garbage, and refer to people like that. I thought that was, you know, tone deaf for the age that we're living in. I was surprised. And, you know, I guess that kind of thing worked in the 80s, though, because several of these folks, these torture victims, brought civil lawsuits in the 80s, and the juries just didn't buy their story. So something has changed in 30 years. But I was surprised that the defense was still trying to use that angle in this time. But I guess it's good news that juries are seeing past that and taking a little more of a sensitive look at these things.
Rob, before we go, how is the Chicago Police Department dealing with this publicity?
You know what? This is just, amazingly, this is not the big story you would think it is. I mean, it's a huge story, but it's not like the city is on the verge of race riots, because there have been a number of kind of release valves over the years. Our governor in 2003 released a number of inmates from death row, cleared death row, and a number of these guys have been getting out of prison over the last 10 years. So this, you know, wasn't, again, the climax that you might think it was, because there have been been many events leading up to this over the last
20
years.
Certainly an emotional milestone. And, of course, as you mentioned, Rob, the big headline in Chicago is, of course, the gun violence that we're actually going to be reporting on later in the program. Rob Wildebor, criminal justice reporter, Chicago Public Radio, thanks so much.